Good morning. Today is Wednesday, the 15th. Oh, Ides of March.
30 days for tax day.
Yeah. Well, it just depends on who, you know, Macaulay was saying it got bumped back to October.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Bone is with us this morning. Morning, Rexy.
Morning. How are you doing this morning?
Okay.
What a beautiful day.
I know. It's,
I mean, that
the
orb,
contrast
that
is just so cool.
Orb, that big bright orb. I mean,
and it's
Fernbridge
not
a, crested
and
this
it is
morning,
a nuclear explosion
and Fernbridge crested this morning, so yeah. it's heading in the right direction,
so it's a good day so far.
As of right now, Caltrans is still planning on doing their closures and going to two-way on Monday, but that's as we speak right now.
Yeah, so things are okay. Are you ready for, or why do we say
things aren't great? My dear neighbor Sammy Shrumboyd is having a baby shower this weekend, and she's got 50 people coming to Ferndale.
Joy.
So they're gonna see the scenic drive of Bruce Lide Road.
Yeah, take the tourist route.
Yeah.
The one that misses Fernbridge.
Yeah.
You ready for why we say it?
Sorry, Sammy.
Scuttlebutt. Why do we say scuttlebutt? No response is a positive response many times.
I just see so many ways I could get anyway.
In trouble?
No. I'd love to hear the proper response. I can't even ad lib that
Okay. If you want inside information, forget public relations press releases and listen attentively to the scuttlebutt. Much of it is meaningless or erroneous, but by mining this vein of talk, you may come up with an occasional gem. Scuttlebutt is half rumor and half gossip. That's because it was first heard when British sailors gathered around a large butt or cask of water. For no known reason, such a container was nearly always placed close to the vessel's scuttle or the hatch with a movable cover. Crew members who went for a drink of water liked to exchange the latest rumors with their shipmates, so talk under a scuttle that sheltered a butt became scuttlebutt.
And actually, then that was the first version of the water cooler.
Yes. Yeah, it really had water. So this time of the year, we normally talk about other things, but this morning, how's the county doing? I mean, it's tough for a lot of us, McKinleyville, Arcata, Eureka, Fortuna, to go, oh, things are really rough, because it's not really rough for us. But for the other parts of the county, there have been some pretty significant impacts.
Yeah, we're hitting, you know, I've got a big issue, Lighthouse Road. We've got issues 101 right there at the Lowell Allen Bridge, right there at County Line. I love calling it Lowell Allen Bridge. His grandkids used to call it Grandpa's Bridge, by the way.
Yeah,
it rebuilt in 64. But anyway, we've got significant road damage, and we have significant underfunding to cover road damages because we have road damages that we'll get. We've been declared an emergency. We'll get, you know,
all the way up.
Yeah. So we'll be available for funding. I mean, that's, you know, one thing about our upper government. But the problem is sometimes that takes 4 to 6 years to get. And if you fix it before you get the money, they say, well, you don't need the money. You got enough money. So it's a real fine line. That's a simplistic approach. But it takes quite a bit of while to go through the system and stuff.
Now, can't the congressman intervene?
We've been very fortunate. We've had some issues in Panther Gap was a good example, and other areas. I use that one because that's halfway through or 60% done now, where John Duskel, his field agent or his assistant up here on the North Coast, really helped me quite a bit to get things going because we had quite a few people pushed on the other side of that. So it worked out fine. I've got some great neighbors up there that are letting people go through their property, you know, as a detour, which has been, you know,
that's,
it's like having
extraordinary all by itself.
Well, it's like having a 50-acre parcel and it says, hey, we're going to put a road right through the middle of it and let everybody drive through it, you know.
Yeah.
So we've been really good. We've got some good neighbor policies up there, but those, after 4 years, are getting stretched pretty thin.
A little strained?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're making good progress on that. There's other roads.
But that's 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got Redwood Drive is down in Supervisor Bushnell's area. She's been having a hell of a time. up there in the 5th District, you know, Ocean Avenue, Ocean Drive, you know, that where it always goes. We're having some serious problems there and other locations. I mean, we can go on and on. We've got, you know, the best thing is these roads were, when these roads were cut, they were made for wagons and just the path of least resistance.
Yeah, the old stagecoach lines.
And now that's where we went because that's where the right-of-ways are the easiest to upgrade. And so, you know, we've got that little part called the wall down there going into the Petrolia. They called the other day and says, boy, the ditch is plugged. Water's running across the road. You're going to lose it. And I called Steve Finch, our road supervisor, and he got a crew out there right away. And they fixed the water and the ditch there and everything else. So our public works crew, they've been going from cutting roads, getting people in, both with our, you know, and our public safety have worked their tail off to get into areas where people are, you know, people plan for a little snow and they plan to have a week's worth of groceries. Some of these people were 2 and 3 weeks, you know, I mean, they've been stuck for a couple of weeks.
Well, it's kind of funny at the shed, you see snow plows in summer and you go,
yeah,
this is Humboldt County. Come on, snow plows. Yeah. How many of these things do we really need? And then you see them traveling in doubles or trios going out and punching it through.
I've been having to apologize every time I see Sheriff Hansel because I, you know, you give him hell about the snowcat and Snowcat has saved a few lives and got a few people in. So, I mean, you have to prepare. You have to prepare for the worst and hope you never use it.
Right.
It's insurance.
But
it's insurance.
That's also tough when you have challenging budget periods to say,
right now,
okay,
yeah,
guys, you know, we need to get one of these because of this, or we have to replace that, and it hasn't been used for a while.
Well, I'm gonna.
But
I'm,
it doesn't matter. You still
know,
need
I'm gonna
it.
Give our credit to our CAO. I mean, we do. We've got a tougher looking budget, and I've never had a tough budget. We've had a balanced budget ever since I've been there.
Yeah, you kind of coasted, basically.
Not because of me, but hopefully because of management and listening to the experts. And we always are pretty fiscally responsible on our budget, and that's how the CAO's office manages it. And now that we've got a better handle on our monies, we'll be in a pretty good position. So do I think we're going to be facing layoffs and things like that? No.
Probably frozen positions.
Are we going to be, you know, I think you're going to, I think, I don't even know if we'll freeze. I'm hopefully we're going to be at the position that just the normal attrition of, you know, people.
Retirement, replacement.
Yeah, the replacement, yeah. The length of replacement and the empty spots will actually cure it itself, a lot of it.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, as natural phenomenon occur, like what we're experiencing now, we've had maybe 10, 12 years of not having really significant.
Got to remember, 2019, we went to 25.6 at Fernbridge. 25.6,
yeah, but that
which was...
That used to be a multiple year, event occurrency every year. So we haven't had floods.
But I think that was the 5th or 6th or 7th highest ever. So I'm...
No, not going back to 55 and 64.
64 was 29, 55 was 26.
31? I think it went over the top.
It's on the record. I can get it for you. So.
Yeah, okay. You know the one that's really curious? I mean, not to be too local, but suck it up, people. 1855. It came up over the river, came up over Scotia, the entire Scotia Bluff, the whole thing. That's why the road is up as high as it is. because that's the level that the river got that year.
Well, we had
dams or anything
I firmly believe in climate change. I know things are changing, and they've changed forever.
There's cycles.
I think we have to look for it. But like I've said, we've had huge snows before. We had ranchers say, this is as bad as I've ever seen it.
As bad or as much or as long?
As much. And this is a little elongated because they're calling for a little bit of snow next week.
Yeah, it's the, extended period of what's going on.
I mean, it's easy. Little league season starts, it's going to rain.
Yeah.
So, it's just that just goes hand in hand.
It's kind of like 4th of July.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. I think the amount of people and, we were talking about the sales tax and the budgets and things like that earlier, and I did two auctions this weekend. I did two the weekend before, and people are spending money at charity events that they really support, but there is money being spent. So I don't know if we're in dire straits. I think we're going through an adjustment right now, I think it's gonna taper. I still see a lot of paper license plates running around. Looks like people are still buying a few cars.
Well, there's money in the economy. It's just different niches now. I mean, with Humboldt and how they're spending, and the kids, how they're spending. We're seeing the home construction. A little bits here and there, some spurts, but it's starting to fire off. Those are areas that were dormant, but let's call it dormant for a long period of time. It's just the pot industry is taking a hit.
34 single family home permits. This permit's not being built, but permits issued since the 1st of August. So that's only about one a week. So,
some apartment buildings are being built
but
also.
There are some apartments. I was talking to Kramer, and he's built a few more apartments over in Arcata. Arcata's growing in anticipation of the growth.
Well, they need it now.
They anticipate, yeah.
Whatever happened to that development out in the Cutting area? Did it just get scuttled?
Forrester Gill?
Yeah, did that just...
A lot of Forrester Gill was, the first thing they wanted to do is build 300,000 square feet of retail and then build the housing as needed. So it kind of...
Seems like a little bit of the cart before the horse.
It's an easier way to make money, but I just, and some of the investors passed or got out of it. And so now it's back up for sale in two or three different sections.
That kind of seemed like it would pencil out with some of the infrastructure that was put in phases.
It was and people have to understand when somebody we've talked about this on the McKay Ranch or on Kramer's thing. It started out 32 years ago, and I'm pretty familiar with it 32 years ago because I brought the property out of TPZ to build the ball fields. But it was going to be 327 single family homes. Now, roughly, it's 125 single-family homes and a couple hundred multifamily units, workforce, housing units like that. So it's changed dramatically.
But has it started?
Kurt doesn't know if he'll do it.
So 30 years and it still is a question mark.
But when I go back, and I used this before, when people think about, well, my God, the traffic and everything else, there'll be impacts. I'd be foolish to say they won't. But the problem is, it's like Lumbar Hills, and I've been corrected a couple times, but it was permitted back in the 60s for a couple hundred homes, and it's not done yet. It's not done yet. There's still a phase that hasn't been done yet. They just asked for another extension, I believe. So with that being said, we're not going to see 300 homes built.
An overnight thing.
It's a 25-year project, 25, 30.
So
and in now, 25, now 30 years, 10... we may be back to the Jetsons. Who knows?
10 houses a year?
10 to 20 units a year.
You can accept 10 or 12 and really not feel it. Yeah, cumulatively, you're going to do something, but Eureka's managed to screw that up for 75 years, so why should the future be any different at this point?
No, so I think we're going to... You got to remember, we had 9,000 students at Humboldt State at one time, it's been a while back. But we had they all had roofs over their head.
Yeah.
So now that we come back into this, there's still going to be roofs over their heads. It's going to be a little more compacted. And as we move forward, You know, Craftsman Mall is going to start real soon. You know, the
Cal Poly housing. Yeah, it looks like they're kind of cleaning up stuff.
They had to have everything out by, I want to say, 1st of February, 1st of March, because everybody had to have, or sooner. So they're starting to get that prepped up, so.
Yeah, that'll be fun to see.
These are exciting times, especially with the curriculum they're looking to do. And as I've always said, it's great seeing the CR Cal Poly relationship.
Yeah, functional. You forgot that word.
Yes.
It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:36. Whoa. Must have had an elongated weather. We probably should have been paying attention to it.
There you go.
Yeah. We're back with Rex. Looking at what is known now with the conditions that there are with storm-related. FEMA trigger stuff, state trigger stuff, county trigger stuff. What are you expecting to see when everything is, you know, the river, the water comes down, the snow melts off, we dry out. What are you thinking is out there?
With the sun coming out and the drying out, we're only going to get a couple days and it's coming right
back. No.
But I know.
Push it 6 weeks.
Long term, you know what happens then is things start to expand and we still get more slides. We get more problems. And we actually see how much damage has been done. And the problem being is are we going to handle all that? I mean, we've got a $200 million, quote, road deficit maintenance. But I mean, that's hook, line, and sinker. That's everything.
Has Tom presented yet for the budget?
You know, yeah. Well, he just calls every once in a while and, you know.
you know where he is.
He says, I'm pretty close to selling pencils here pretty soon. So, okay. No, and it's a tough deal. But the thing is in all honesty, if you look on my phone, Tom, his department probably gets 60, 70% of my calls going, hey, can you fix this? Can you fix this? Can you fix this? People are going to be inconvenienced to beat hell. There's no way around it. When this comes out, we have 1,242 miles of road to maintain. You know, and put that in perspective. Caltrans the other day made a comment. It was made the other day. Matt made a comment the other day that, you know, District 1, Humboldt-Mendocino, they have 2,400 and some odd miles of road. And I'm going, wow.
In your budget?
No. So I their roads, I mean, they've got a lot more bridges. They've got a lot more stuff. I understand that. And I'll tell you what.
And a lot more dollars and a lot more workers.
Yeah. But, you know, we are so fortunate to have the partnership, at least in Humboldt County, the partnership that we have with the leadership at Caltrans.
And what's been going on with 299? Why has it been closed? Was it snow? Was it slides?
Slides, then boulders. It was a little bit of everything. And the other thing is, everybody, you get up there, and all of a sudden you get 6 trucks and 8 cars spun out. And somebody says, you know, this just isn't working because we're spending all our time pulling rigs out of the road, you know, putting people in harm's way. When it gets this bad, people shouldn't be driving in it. Just shut it. Because, you know, the nice thing about it.
How did Willow Creek and the folks inland beyond Blue Lake, how did they get supplies if it was shut down? They have to go to Redding?
Well, Redding's been no better.
Exactly.
Redding's no been better. And they're a pretty tough bunch over there. They stock up also.
But like you said, though, a couple of weeks is a little different than a couple of days.
A couple of weeks is a long time. And so there has been, you know, people, and we haven't had the road closed for 2 weeks. Let's clarify. Road's been closed and it's been open. It's been closed on tough times and then open right back up. This goes back to what Caltrans is doing. Their guys are working 24/7. You know, I mean, literally, I mean, I think they're more working like 36-10 is, you know, I mean, they're killing it, trying to keep everything open. And I've been stuck in a couple of them getting down and just barely, and they have done it. They have done a lot of work and a good job for the people that they serve. And this goes from our little public works all the way up to the Caltrans and the efforts that are being made forward for the motoring public. But the other thing is, as they're making these efforts for the motoring public, they're doing it for the people that have to be out there. The biggest one of the issues
is looky-loos.
Somebody sitting at home going, man, it sounds like a mess. Let's go look at it.
Yeah. It's,
that becomes an issue.
And it's like the storm waves on the beach.
It's let's go look at it. So, I mean, and I understand that. But the amount of time and effort that has gone on in the last 2 months, month and a half, I mean, PG&E. Throw all the rocks you want at PG&E, but our local guys are working 16-hour days, 6 days a week, sometimes seven. They are beat to death. And then if you drive by the fairgrounds, the other day I was amazed at the size of the camp they had down there at Bimbo, right there by the golf course. By number, they must have had 50 rigs down there. And the problem was they'd go out there and get a line hooked up, and then the next day they'd get another 2 foot of snow, and the trees that didn't break
same
the night
spot.
Before,
yeah.
They'd break,
yeah.
You know. And and they show pictures of these guys because some of these drifts were 6, 8, 10 feet. They were trying to hike through any way they could to get through because they couldn't take any type of vehicle in there.
Right.
So
everybody has those snow cats.
This whole thing amazed me about how well they did. I mean, PG&E was knocking. I mean, it started out with 8,000, went to 4, went to 2. Then we hung at 500, and I don't know what we are right now, but I think we've got pretty much restoration almost everywhere. And where they didn't, PG&E's bringing in supplies, bringing in generators. They're trying.
Yeah, you see the rigs driving. They've got the big boxes on.
They've got, so, I mean.
So when all this stuff is done and the dollars are there, and it certainly there'll be probably more infrastructure damage than anything else. What do you do? I mean, the county's not in a spot to be able to front load a lot of these projects. And then you've still got the resources. You know, let's say Public Works has got all the money that they need. Well, how much asphalt are they going to be able to buy? Or how much rock are they going to be able to do? Or how many man hours are they going to be able to throw at some of this stuff, even if they're contracting out? We just don't have that many of those folks around here, kind of like in the building trades.
Yeah.
Okay, so what does that look like?
Well, I think we have enough vendors, suppliers that need to do the asphalt, the base rock, all of that, truck it, and everything else. I think we have enough to make the repairs systematically down the road. We're not going to be able to do them all in one day. We're not going to be able to do them all in 1 week. We're not going to be able to do them all in 1 year as we put in. The biggest problem is putting in the request through FEMA, through the state and federal partners, that, hey, we got to get this fixed because I've got 40 people stranded here. I've got 30 people stranded here.
The reports or the inquiries, the ask, to be able to get the funding for these projects, which it's all paperwork.
It's extensive paperwork.
There's no fast tracking or streamlining or anything like that that the congressman or I suppose whoever happens to be our senators at the time
would
be able to facilitate?
Yeah, and the agencies we go to help. The agencies we go to will help us along those lines. They're not going to try to bury us so we don't get anything. You know, I mean, they
but there's still the environmental documentation that's required for a lot of these projects, right?
Yeah, a lot of it. A lot of it, no, because a lot of it's already, the road's already there and it's under an emergency edict.
Oh, so that...
That doesn't mean they won't fight it. I mean, they, you know, so... But as we move forward, is there a plan? There is a plan. Are we implementing the plan? Yeah. Have we implemented the plan before? Yes. And then I always drive by. Yesterday, 2 days ago, I'm driving back, and I look up at the sign down there by Miranda at the 64 flood.
Yeah.
15 feet above my truck.
That thing ought to be repainted. That ought to be repainted.
And I'm sitting here going, we're pretty resilient. We'll come back.
Every time I go by it, it's like I want to stop, get some paint, put a little light underneath it so people can see, you know, this is what it was. Yeah, it'd be cool to have a 55 marker and a couple of the others also for reference points. But I don't think, what was it? Boy, 60 years ago now. How many of us weren't alive?
The only thing I remember.
To experience it.
The one thing I remember, my dad owned a corner grocery store. Bill Beckman was a good friend of my dad's. and he was the Laura Scudder distributor, and Merrill James did Granny Goose, and I was good friends with Merrill's son, Ron, and Merrill. And all I remember is those were two of the products you could not get in because they would not take that amount of volume because they were having to, for a while, they had to fly everything in.
Right, yeah, the airlift.
Because 101, 29, everything was shut down. Yeah. So it just cracks me up about what we, the resiliency we suffered. Now, back then, we only had 108,000, 109,000 yeah, okay. people. But still, we've got 135 now. It's not that big.
No.
We're only talking 25%. So, I mean, it amazes me. And our resiliency and our way of doing things for love is not. We just pull it's up different. Our sleeves and we work 7 days a week. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I like to get out
but
there.
But just-in-time inventory just doesn't cut it
no,
in these
it does.
Situations.
Yeah, exactly.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:45.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:49. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Rex Bone. So, Rex, as you're looking at what today and yesterday were, looking forward to the upcoming budgets, looking forward probably isn't the right phrase. In the future, you'll be dealing with the budget.
Yeah.
Can the two coexist and still be something that you can stand behind, or are they just going to have to be outside funds coming in and it has to be sooner rather than later in order to make things happen?
And I've been saying this for a couple of years. We're going to have to be more aware of where we spend our money and what we do and grants. You know, because the state's having the same issue. Remember, the state went from $127 billion surplus, and now it's a $29 billion negative. So, I mean, things are going to – the money's not going to flow for some of these programs as much as it has. Now, the focus on homelessness is going to be still moving forward. Thank you to Providence and a few of these people that are stepping up.
Now, is it homeless or is it mental health?
I think they're synonymous. In about 70% is synonymous. I think they run together.
And, well, sure, yeah, they're interwoven. But
and I'm not so sure if somebody falls on hard times. It's a real fine line. Somebody falls on really hard times. I mean, job loss, personal loss in their family, whatever the case may be, and it pushes them over the edge, or something else pushes them over the edge, and they get into homelessness. It's the path to getting there, at the end, it's the same result. It's somebody that needs to be housed. And a lot of the time, the housing needs to be supervised housing.
Right.
So the expenses on that get to be extreme. And I'm glad we have Connie Beck, our mental health branch. They are all working together. And now the city of Eureka is stepping. Yeah, I really believe they are.
I think from the outside looking in, I don't think anybody questions the mental health component to 95% of the situations. What has changed? I mean, we still have the same capacity with Semper Virens. We're not seeing that many additional. We keep hearing clinicians are tough to come by, and it's like everybody's slogging in mud instead of getting some significant
progress. We're treading. I mean,
I
think we're gonna all of a sudden it's gonna be solved? No, I think it's almost to the point of an unsolvable problem. But it's going to have to
but
be
is
an
it?
Acceptable issue. I
Do you
that's
think
where
really
we're trying
is?
To get. I mean, like Semper Virens. You brought up Semper Virens. We're one of the we're the smallest county.
It.
We're
take,
the smallest take, county in the state that has a Semper Virens.
How about 100 rooms?
So,
100 beds.
I mean, there's talk of that.
If there's investment needed, you know, let's become a
there's
pilot
gonna,
program.
There's going to be a little bit of those beds, 8 or 12 of those beds in the new
jail
in the new facility
What's that,
coming
or four?
In.
3 or 4 years out before
I'd
that thing
3.
Opens?
I'd say 3.5.
Yeah. 3 or 4. Fair enough. If we ever get Billy to show up, we could find out. Thanks for coming by.
Billy who?
Yeah.
He's been a little busy, too.
Yeah. See everybody tomorrow.